This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 2, 2023, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, by Bishop Stephen Lopes.
I have mentioned to Father Holliday more than once that Incarnation is one of my favorite parishes to visit. You don't need to invent ways to get me here. This is all rather dramatic. The reflection we have today from the Gospel of St. Matthew, I think, is a helpful context after the 8 days that we have had here in the parish. It basically says that God is in your midst. And this is, you know, Christ speaking to his disciples. He who receives me receives the one who sent me. He who receives you receives me. He makes this equation between himself and his presence and his action and his own disciples, so that to receive one of those whom he sends is to receive him. And to receive him is, of course, to receive the Father. Now, if you were to go to the evangelical bookstore, you know, this gets translated as, you never know when you're going to be, you know, greet the angels. You know, that there's a spiritual sense to which, you know, we greet one another as if we were greeting Christ. You never know when God is present to you. Well, as it turns out, we know. There's a sentimentality to that, whereas there's a reality, not only to the gospel, but a reality to the sacraments that we celebrate in the church. You see, it is true of God that he desires that he be known, that we know his will, that we follow him and become his disciples. It is not about an intellectual assent of faith. To none of the disciples does Jesus say, think this or that. Have these ideas about God. He says very concretely, follow me. It is a following of one's whole life, of which, of course, our intellect is part of us, but it's the rest of us as well, what we do, what we say, how we live. It is our thoughts, it's our feelings, it's our whole person. That is what we put forward to God, because it's a very personal gift of ourselves that responds to a personal gift of God. Because we've been baptized, we have been confirmed, we receive the Holy Eucharist at Mass. God makes himself known to us not by giving us ideas, not by, you know, Christianity is not a path to enlightenment. It is a way that the Savior has traced already and in which we follow. He gives us himself, and he bids us to take that into the world. In baptism, we are filled with the very creative fire of God, the Holy Spirit, that conforms us to Christ, and so we can share his passage from death to life. In confirmation, that same Creator Spirit fills our souls, sealing them with the very seal of God, so that we can carry him into the world. We draw near to the altar of God at every Mass to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior, so that we can go back out into the world as his presence that heals, that challenges, that speaks truth, and that saves. There's nothing sentimental about that. It's not just that you and I encounter God in encountering the church, the body of Christ, but in that marvelous thing that neither you nor I have ever merited or earned, we become the presence of the risen Lord in the world. That is what the effect of the sacraments has on us. To fill us with God's own life, nourishing us with his body and blood so that we can be his presence, that them who do not know the Lord can learn something of who God is and experience something, the truth of his salvation, in encountering us, his disciples. So that what is said in the gospel becomes prophetically true of us. Whoever receives us receives the Lord. And in receiving the Lord, receiving the one who sent him. Now, in one sense, that's a lot. That's a lot, because there's nothing, as I say, sentimental or symbolic about that. There's something very real. And to speak as the church does, as we are all members of the church, with the voice of the Lord, we are speaking truth. To come with the truth of God for human happiness and flourishing, to stretch out a way and to trace a way in which we should walk, we call it moral life, morality, but really it's simply the way of discipleship. Well, why would we expect the reaction of the world to be any different than the reaction of the world in the Lord's own time? I mean, after all, they did reject him. Again and again, he preaches to the crowd, and we can't gloss over the detail that the crowd goes away dejected. They didn't hear what they came to hear. They didn't find the great spectacle that they wanted to hear. And said, you know, this truth made them all very uncomfortable. And so again and again, the Lord turns to his own disciples and says haunting words like, are you going to leave me too? Peter's response is great. Who are we going to go to? You alone have the words of eternal life. They will reject the truth because the world is fallen. The world is so easily misguided and beguiled by the promises of the evil one. There is a reason why in the church's liturgy, Satan is always referred to as the father of lies, because it is by deception that he gets people to sin. But there is always that conflict, between the truth of God, revelation, and the world that is unable to hear it and unable to accept it, and sometimes reacts to it with great violence. Not put too sharp a point on it. They can burn our churches, but they cannot detract from the truth of God in Christ. And it is in that truth that you and I have gathered today. To know our own dignity, to know our own identity as members of the body of Christ, as people who have not only been filled with the Holy Spirit, but been transformed by the Spirit, as people who draw near to the altar of God, not just, you know, in some sense looking for to be lifted up and revived and strengthened and helped, but to be nourished by God himself, to receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our risen Lord, and then to be sent. Go forth in peace. The Mass always ends with that, go out there, go back into your families, go back into your workplaces, go back into your neighborhoods, your schools, among your friends, among your coworkers, among people you meet, and be the presence, the healing presence, the truthful presence of Christ. It is no small thing to which you and I are called. But in the vocation that is ours through our baptism, the world is being saved. And we should never fear the reaction of the world that doesn't know it needs a Savior. But we do. Because we've encountered him. We've been changed by that encounter. And we have been empowered by him to bring his truth and his presence to the world. And we can do so without fear, because this is not a story at the end is still unwritten. The powers of evil have raged against the powers of light from the beginning of time and the very first sin of Adam and Eve, but we know who wins. The light has shone in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it, says the first chapter of St. John's Gospel. When we gather in the night of Easter Vigil, we dispel the darkness with the blessing of the Easter candle and the fire. And we bring that into the church, and we live the rest of the year in the light of Easter. We know that in the cross of Christ, death sin and the evil one is overcome. The world and all that is in it is passing away, and what remains is Christ. Cling to Christ. Be nourished by Christ, and do not fear the world, because you're being sent back out into it, and whoever receives you receives Christ. And in receiving Christ, they receive the one who sent him.